sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. It's me, Mr. FSP, doing what I do because I do it for you once in a lifetime. It's always the right time. Today is a wonderful day. It's January 18th, 2014, and I'm back on the air making life miserable for those that don't like FSP. I really don't care. But today, we've got a jam-packed show. As soon as my co-host calls in, JKT and Money, we're going to discuss AFC and NFC championship games. That will be between the San Francisco 49ers, which is my son's favorite team, versus the Seattle Seahawks, the Denver Broncos versus the New England Patriots, which I think is going to be the more interesting game. But I want to debate Jerry and the callers on the relevance of both games. Last weekend, we touched on it a little bit as far as the classic pocket passing quarterback versus the new age scrambler slash quote-unquote athlete. My thing is, it's retro. It's really retro. And you might not believe me, but I'm going to talk about it because my coach called in. We're going to do that. Then, for all of my UFC and WWE fans, we're going to talk about Brock Lesnar possibly making a trip back to the Octagon and why he should go back to the UFC and how it can benefit him as well as the UFC. I read an article recently on VJPen.com. And it was rather interesting, We'll talk about it a little bit. Also, WWE's Royal Rumble. You know, they've been building this up for quite a bit. The return of Bautista, David Bautista, Washington, D.C. native. This guy is a pro wrestler turned pro wrestler turned MMA fighter turned actor again. UFC didn't work out. Well, not UFC, but MMA didn't work out too well for him. But, you know, he's still in the limelight. He signed to do a very big motion picture for Marvel, and he's one of the good guys, I believe. So, therefore, I want to talk a little bit about him and why he's being built up so big for the Royal Rumble. Last time the WWE did something like this, it was for Rob Van Dam. Now, Rob came in, he didn't last very long at WWE, I guess because he's the same old Rob Van Dam, Rolling Thunder, Frog Splash, Game Over, talking as if he's a little stoned, so to speak. We got that on tap. Then, I got a question for you. I've got a big question for you. Are the Miami Heat going to three-peat? Are they not going to make the NBA Finals at all? Three-peat or not make the NBA Finals at all? That and a bunch more here on this episode of FSP. Also, all of our shows on this network are sponsored by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So go over there today, place a wager, try to win some money today. I'm going to try to win some money later on today. I'm in Reno right now. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, as I wait on my co-host, you can call in if you want. Number's 347-637-3220. Again, that number's 347 637-3220, and we'll put you on the air. Remember, we're going to try to keep it within the context of the subject matter. If not, we stay off a little bit, that's okay. We can steer you back where we want you to go. But since my co-host isn't in right now, okay, I'm going to talk about a subject matter he probably wasn't going to talk about anyway. Well, speaking of the devil, there he is right there, JT ATM Money. I'm still going to talk about this subject matter, even though I know he doesn't like it too much. JT, what's going on?
Nothing much. How you doing, my man? Long time no speak to.
I know, work and, you know, now I'm out here with the family. So took a little time to do the show. But I saw the pictures of your trophy. Congratulations, you still suck. But anyway, I'm going to jump on a topic that I know you're not going to be too fond of, but I'm going to talk about it anyway.
Because, UCF.
It's not UCF. It's UFC. But it's MMA and WWE. Now, I know you like pro wrestling. So we're going to talk about that, too. Recently, on BJ10.com, an article was placed on there about Brock Lesnar. Now, Brock Lesnar, as everybody knows, is, well, in the mainstream, knows that he was a, and still is a WWE wrestler who decided to leave wrestling for the Minnesota Vikings. And when he didn't make the Minnesota Vikings, he tried his hand at MMA. Well, with one or two matches, he ends up winning the World Heavyweight title in UFC. He defended it twice, lost once, the title that is, but he has, I believe, a 4-3 record, something like that. And he decided to step away and go back to WWE. Now, currently, UFC has, I guess, downgraded their star power, so to speak, with the welterweight champion, George St. Pierre, retiring, and now he's slamming the UFC for their drug testing policy and many other things. He's no longer in the picture. Matter of fact, in February, they're going to have a title match between the number 3 contender and the number 1 contender for his title. So that's interesting there. But then you also have the Spider, Anderson Silva, who broke his leg in the octagon when he threw a kick, and it got checked. And when it got checked, he threw it so hard, and the technique that Chris Weidman used, it snapped his leg his shin in half live on pay-per-view, and he's down for about 8 to 11 months before he can get back into the octagon. That leaves John Jones and Ronda Rousey as the star power for the UFC. Now, Ronda Rousey is a pretty face. She's very good. She can fight. She can endorse. She's not a fan favorite, which means people want to see her lose, so they pay to see her lose, which she hasn't done yet. Then John Jones, he's this great guy, you know, supposed to be this cool kid, da-da-da-da-da, great. But you can't market those two people all year long. They can only fight maybe 2 or 3 times a year. The biggest payout, pay-per-view-wise, that the UFC has ever had came when Brock Lesnar headlined 2 of their main events. UFC needs Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar doesn't necessarily need the UFC, but when Cain Velasquez dispatches of his next opponent, there's really no one left for him to fight in the World Heavyweight title division. in the heavyweight division, unless someone steps up and takes it and just does a great job and decides he wants to win the title.
Hmm.
Brock Lesnar could use the UFC, and the UFC definitely needs Brock Lesnar to, I'm not going to say to survive, but they're hitting their stride right now. We talked about this a little bit, Jerry, how boxing, you know, has been able to sustain itself for quite some time. UFC can do it as well, but there were star power in pretty much almost every weight class in boxing. Right now, there isn't that much star power in the UFC, mainly because when you have a global sport, usually the champions aren't all American. Right now, pretty much all the champions, except for like two or three in the UFC, are American. And that's uncommon. It's very uncommon. In boxing right now, the world heavyweight champions, not champion, but champions, are Russian, the Klitschko brothers, and I believe one other guy. Then you've got other champions in other weight classes. Very few are American-born. So with the UFC being a global sport and more popular in Japan, more popular in Brazil, but your main title contenders or title holders are not, can the sport survive in these different areas? Now, they've had UFC Tough Enough in each state, like Poland, not state, but country, like Poland, Brazil, England, and all these other places. But my question to you, Jerry, is, and I know you don't like the sport, but I want you to be objective about it, okay? Does the sport need a couple more mega stars to sustain its momentum, or because it was already a global sport and recognized everywhere except for the U.S. as a top sport, can it survive? Can the UFC still survive?
Well, I would say because it's this established entity that it'll be able to survive. But of course, what kind of survivability are you talking about? The same type of popularity and revenue that's been generating now? Well, stars in all sports, in all parts of entertainment, drive the public to it. So you lose the stars, you lose the excitement, it's going to wane a little bit. So things are going to drop off because you don't have the same amount of stars and the same amount of excitement to generate to the fans. It'll survive because, like I said, it's been around too long. Been around long enough, but you still need to bring in some more star power because of the fact and keep that excitement generated, because you don't want it to wane enough that it'll lose its popularity. For the most part, this is a me generation, regardless of what part of the country or what part of the world you're at. Instant gratification, what's hot is what's exciting people. Things start to go downward in the excitement way, then quite naturally people are going to gravitate to something else. So you still need stars. I mean, you got a few stars, but I'm pretty sure that there's some up-and-coming stars out there to be generated that can carry the sport for whatever amount of time it takes for these oldest, I wouldn't say old, but the established stars to make their way back from health issues. But you always need stars. You don't have stars, you don't have the excitement, like I said, and then you don't have the public, the fans, flocking to see their stars get hurt, get killed. I wouldn't say killed, but do what the stars, the fans want them to do. So It'll still be there because it's been around for a while. It's not going to go drop off the map just like that, but you need the stars.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, Brock Lesnar is entrenched in the WWE now. He has a little storyline, stuff like that. So for him to make that move, because Dana White had talked about it on Wednesday after one of the fight nights on Fox, there's a possibility that Brock could come back. Because they've talked about it. I mean, right now, Brock is under contract to the WWE, whereas it's not real, but it's the violence. There's still real violence. And in WrestleMania last year, or year before, no, it was last year, Brock Lesnar and CM Punk, they were in a wrestling match, they were doing some Brazilian jiu-jitsu moves. So they brought real, you know, BJJ to the, I guess, the ring. And some people might not have understood it, but, you know, the mixed martial arts fan appreciated it. So it was kind of cool. But that translates back, well, that goes back to my next topic, which is Dave Bautista. Bautista is a former WWE wrestler who then decided to follow Brock Lesnar into mixed martial arts. He and Bobby Lashley are the two big names. Bobby Lashley did not do well at all, even though he got a lot of publicity. But when real punches and real blows were thrown, he couldn't stand the test. Bautista did okay, but he wasn't, you know, anywhere near the caliber of athlete that it takes to be a mixed martial artist than Brock is. So Dave goes out and he starts to make moves. And now he's signed on to do the Marvel movie coming up with Vin Diesel and a few other people. And he's supposed to be this mega hero. Well, now, for the past month, the WWE has been pumping the return of Bautista for the Royal Rumble. Are you familiar with the Royal Rumble, Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're supposed to come back, and usually when they pump somebody up, that means they're going to do really well. Either they're going to win, or they're going to be featured really prominently on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And Bautista's a very talented guy. I just don't think he's going to be I don't think he deserves to have the World Heavyweight title again. I just don't think he does. But if he wins the Royal Rumble, which I think he will, he'll get his opportunity at WrestleMania to fight whoever the World Heavyweight champion is. And right now, that's Randy Orton. So the WWE, I think, lately has been falling short of pushing young talent and young event bigger main events to the public. I don't know why. They're going to launch their new network, which I thought they launched a while ago, but I guess it was only overseas. But the WWE network starts at the end of February. So I think they failed to pump and push some of these guys that can be the new lifeblood of the organization for some retros. Now, this translates to UFC how? I just asked you, does the UFC need star power to survive? WWE has star power, and its only real competition is TNA. But the caliber of wrestling is totally different on TNA than it is in WWE, and I think Vince McMahon and his brain trust have fallen short of making the WWE that relevant with the new talent. Whereas now they have the New Age Outlaws back. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but the Road Dogg, Jesse James, and Billy Gunn, and DX, and all these other guys, they're coming back, and they're kind of retrofitting, so to speak, the WWE, and getting some interest back in it, because that's who my generation, because you grew up on Bruno Sammartino and some other older folks, probably older than Bruno. But, you know, the folks that I grew up on as a teen and as a young adult, but their star power is driving that organization right now, not the young talent. So when they do this Royal Rumble, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to see if it's worth, you know, the money and my kids looking at it and stuff like that. That's the boy time right there. But my question to you is, even though Mr. McMahon somewhat has a monopoly, somewhat, because he really doesn't, can the WWE continue its decades of dominance? They're doing 30 years of WrestleMania. So that's 30 years that Vince McMahon has been in charge of the organization. He bought it from his dad and turned the WWF into the WWF. And because the World Wildlife Federation sued him, they're now called the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. So my question is, what do you see happening with wrestling in the next 5 to 10 years?
Just another...
I think nothing.
Yeah, I'm not... wrestling, I don't know, man. It's another form of entertainment that people still enjoy. It's for the most part, it's a younger generation that generates the excitement. I think up to a certain point, in my opinion, up to a certain point, it's run its course with a certain age group, and then a younger generation takes over, and the young kids up to have a cycle that they enjoy it. So I don't see it waning. I think it's going to sustain it because, just like I said, there's always going to be new stars, and new stars generate new excitement, especially with younger fans who have never seen the stars before, younger kids whose dads or uncles or granddads take them to the wrestling who've never seen it before get excited, and they in turn, when they get older, bring the next generation up. So it's a thing that's I would say it's probably self-sustaining as long as they generate the excitement with the younger generation. Then they're going to keep they're going to be viable.
Okay, I mean it is what it is. I think there's a lot more excitement out there for it. I think there's a lot more interest in it because of Brock Lesnar moving from WWE to UFC, then back to WWE, because you bring a lot more fans to it. But when you have players like Brock and The Undertaker who only fight maybe 3 or 4 times out of the year, The Rock, you know, they come in for special events. That's when people gravitate to WWE. And again, these are the retro guys that are getting spotlighted because they were able to do something with my generation that these newer wrestlers can't seem to get with this generation. So that star power, you know, it's going to become a time where these guys can't climb in the ring. They'll be like Ric Flair, you know, 60-some years old, styling and profiling, limousine riding, jet setting, and all that other stuff, but they're going to be like sagging chest to the floor and all this other stuff going on. So I don't know. But with that being said, it's a great transition to old school, new school in a sport that we all love so well. And I'm talking about football. So we're going to say The Rock, Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker and stuff. There's Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. We're going to say Randy Orton, CM Punk, and some of these other cats are Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick. I think that's a fair assessment. Because I don't know about you, Mr. Taylor, but I think the most exciting matchup of the NFL AFC-NFC Championship weekend happens to line the AFC between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And I can test to you, Mr. Taylor, last week I know my cousin brought up the race issue. I didn't want to touch that because that's not where I wanted to go. And I know you have similar sentiments as he does. But I say that it's retro versus current history. And I say, hold on, Vic, what are you talking about?
I'm doing my What are you talking about? I had talked about something like this with Mac yesterday, but I'll give you my train of thought as soon as you finish yours.
Okay. Here's my train of thought. Retro. Who do you think I'm talking about is retro?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Retro will be Colin Kaepernick and Mr. Wilson. Because if you remember King Stabler, if you remember the Snake.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you remember some of those guys, you know, that's your generation, actually.
Sure.
And, you know, and my generation is, you know, the Kaepernicks, the Randall Cunninghams, you know, all that stuff. I could talk to Mr. Wilson on my boys, but I had Randall. I had Steve Young. I had, you know, people like that. This isn't a new concept, guys. This is not a new concept in the NFL. It's become a current and trendy concept. So the retro, for me, would be Wilson and Kaepernick, and the classic is Brady and Manning. We know Brady and Manning are going to be a knockdown drag out slobber knocker type of matching wits of quarterbacks. You can forget about the offensive coordinators. To an extent, you can forget Bill Belichick and Jim Fox. To an extent, because those guys faced off already about 7-10 years ago in the Super Bowl, and if not for a bad kick out of bounds, the Carolina Panthers actually could have won that Super Bowl. But you got Brady, who's cerebral. You got Manning, who's cerebral. And they both like to be in the pocket, throwing the ball around, making decisions. Even though, as I said at the beginning of the year, I didn't think the Patriots were going to do this well, but I said they were going to have to be a running team. And what if they've been winning with in the playoffs? And, I mean, like 2 weeks before the playoffs at that, they're running game. It was the running game, and it is the running game. So when you look at Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, you think, okay, wow, this is going to be a game of ages. It could be the very last time these two face off in a playoff game, especially at this magnitude. Then you go to the NFC, where you have Colin Kaepernick facing Josh Wilson in a less than friendly environment. They don't hate each other. They have a healthy respect for each other, but they don't like each other as far as teams go. Colin, as Joe Montana recently said, he needs to work on his game in several areas. But they said the same thing about King Stabler. He needs to work on things in certain areas, but he's the Snake. You know, we had Jake Plummer, you know, growing up with Jake Plummer. He had flaws in his game. You look at Mr. Wilson, Russell Wilson. That cat has pocket presence, and he can run around and make things happen, but his weapons are lacking on the outside. So I look at these guys and say, you know, it's not an issue of scrambling quarterbacks versus pocket passers or black versus white or stout or athlete, quote-unquote, versus cerebral, quote-unquote. I look at it as retro versus classic because, you know, the style of play has been around for a while. It's just the NFL has just gotten around to accepting it as the norm. You know, it's the norm. And it's not something that's odd. It's not an oddity anymore. So I'm going to probably look at both, actually. But I can guarantee you the more exciting game will be the Broncos and the Patriots. The more hard-hitting, probably several personal foul games, is going to be Seattle and the 49ers. I yield the floor to the gentleman from New Jersey.
All right. Are you finished ranting and raving and whatever else that you were talking about? Now, I talked about this with Mac yesterday, and I strongly believe this to the deepest depths of my soul. If you love watching football, if anybody loves watching football, tomorrow, whatever your taste in football is going to be satisfied. The reason I'm saying this is this. The first game, if you love offense, you got two classic drop-back quarterbacks that are first-ballot Hall of Famers that can pass the ball and light the scoreboard up against each other. They've faced each other 14 times. This is the 15th time. This may be the last time that they faced each other in an environment like this in the playoffs. It could be. It could not be. It all depends on how far these guys go in the rest of their careers and how their teams go. So besides that, the face-off, two classic drop-back quarterbacks facing each other with and both of them able to generate offense, one more than the other, quite naturally, because Peyton Manning has a lot more weapons than Tom Brady. But Tom Brady, when it push comes to shove, has been able to generate with whatever he works and works with whatever he has. And I do truly believe that the people who like to watch offensive football, this is your cup of tea. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, because the Patriots, in your estimation, like to run the ball. Well, they're going to like to run the ball until Peyton gets the ball and starts lighting up the scoreboard, and then Tom Brady has to throw the ball to try to keep up with the points. So that's one side of the spectrum. On the other side of the spectrum is the purists, the people who like defensive football. This is your cup of tea. I mean, this is probably the best of two worlds in two games for the conference championship for these two teams, or four teams, one in each conference, to get to the Super Bowl. Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick are going against two of the best defenses in the league. That teams in the same division have met before, have split this year, and don't like each other at all. They don't have a healthy respect. They don't like each other at all. The coaches don't like. That's how deep this goes. The coaches don't like each other, and their defenses reflect that. So the second portion of this conference championship, what has to do with the NFC, is for the defensive type of people who like to see defense knock offensive players around, because I do truly believe that's what's going to happen. There's going to be some personal fouls. Like you said, there's going to be unsportsmanlike conduct. I believe that's going to happen. And depending on how the game is going to be called, there's going to be a lot of pass interference or holding in the DBs, especially on the Seattle side. Okay? So
I agree.
This is better. This is going to be better than the Super Bowl, because you're getting two games, and they're two different types of games, an offensive type of game and a defensive type of game. You can't get any better than that. You cannot get any better than that. And you got two heated rivals in both games, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning on one, and Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, and the Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers on the other. You can't get any better than that for two conference championships. I may sound overexcited, because I'm very excited to watch both of these games because things like this, conference championships especially, don't come around that often when you have this type of scenario. It's it's so exciting, and I can't help but overhype it. Hopefully it lives up to the setup, because both of these teams, I mean, both of these games have huge setups if you just stop and look back. Now, let me express one more thing. And I said this last week, and I think I said this the week before. And it's ironic, because a lot of things I've said, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm just stating the fact. A lot of things I've said have been on national radio or national TV. Ron Jaworski was talking to Mike and Mike yesterday. Okay, I think it was yesterday. Talking to him over the phone on the Mike and Mike program on ESPN, and he said exactly the same thing I said. You have there's a possibility that there's a passing of the torch, that the evolution of NFL football can possibly change, because the fact is there's two mobile quarterbacks. One of them is going to go to the Super Bowl, and it's a possibility that one of those mobile quarterbacks win the Super Bowl. A mobile quarterback, a quarterback that can run and throw, has not won the Super Bowl except for maybe Steve Young. But Steve Young doesn't do it. Steve Young didn't do it as these guys do it. So what I'm saying is this. There could be a precedent here. First of all, and I'm going to bring race into it, an African-American mobile quarterback that can run the ball and can pass the ball has a possibility of winning a Super Bowl. And this is Jaworski's words. It can change the economy or change the face of the NFL if that happens. You can see a whole – he said there's a whole – the NFL is a copycat league, that, as you and I both know. And if a mobile quarterback wins the league, wins the championship, you're going to see – it even, I wouldn't say explode, but you're going to see guys clamoring, trying to get the same model type quarterback that wins the Super Bowl, either Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick. I'm telling you, that's why I said regardless of what you think, this is a groundbreaking possibility of change. I said that last week or the week before.
Now, listen, I agree with you as far as groundbreaking and stuff like that. Yeah, that's easy. Not a problem. I mean, again, I go back to the concept not being groundbreaking because it was there before. The difference is, yes, it is race. That is the difference then. And I have no problem, you know, acknowledging that, because it is important to acknowledge that, that one of those guys had the opportunity to become the second African-American to win a Super Bowl, and the third non-Caucasian to win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's very significant. But the concept of a mobile quarterback is it. Now, you know, what does that impact on, you know, Johnny Manziel? You know, Johnny Manziel, in my opinion, is more accurate than Kaepernick. But he also had Mike Evans, who's a beast wide receiver. You know, does that catapult him at the top of a lot of people's list? Louisville's quarterback, Bridgewater, he's not the mobile quarterback. No, he's more of a pocket quarterback. But he is African-American. Then you look at some of these smaller schools that, you know, have the African-American mobile quarterback. Like, not Townsend. Townsend used to, but I don't think they have a black one now. But all these other schools that have these African-American mobile quarterbacks that come to the NFL and can do well, but for whatever reason they don't make it to that lineup. I got it. That is groundbreaking. Yes, I agree with you 110%. But the concept of a mobile quarterback is not groundbreaking. Will this open the door for a lot of mobile quarterbacks? I would say Kaepernick. You know, Kaepernick was drafted, what, 3 years ago? 2 3 years ago, right? Cam Newton was the first, no, was he the first black quarterback taken number one overall? I think he was.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture to say, because you can go back to the Raiders. Matter of fact, you can go back past, or you can go back to George Hyland. I think we talked about this a while ago, a long time ago, though, when the Bears had a mobile quarterback that actually played, what, one game, drove him all the way down, got taken out.
Yep, I told you about
goal
that.
Line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, this goes back to those guys, and it didn't break them in. But, times have changed, and hopefully, you know, the dichotomy that Dworky is talking about and stuff like that, it's not code, even though it could be, you know, for, well, the avant of the mobile quarterback, whether they're white, black, or whatever, is coming in. Got it. Diamond, right now, is the hottest mobile quarterback in the upcoming draft. What's going to happen when Florida State's quarterback comes out? Jameson, I believe his name is. You know, he's a
Jameson Winston.
Yeah. When he comes out, he'll probably be the number one pick if he improves a little bit, you know. So we'll see. Right now, on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino .com hotline, where winners win and players play, so go there today and play some wagers and win today. I won last week. Thank you, San Diego, for covering the 10.5. We got my cousin. We got Mike on the line, and he's been listening for like the past 10 minutes. He listened to what you had to say, and I'm not sure what else he caught. But I'm quite sure he had some thoughts on this subject matter, so I'm going to bring him in right now. Mike.
What's up? Yeah, I'm here. How y'all doing?
All right, my man.
We're good. So your thoughts?
I think I don't really think it's as groundbreaking, you know, on an African-American level. I think it's just – What makes it groundbreaking is the NFL institution has always labeled the mobile quarterback, and that was code for black quarterback. You know, because there's been a gang of these so-called mobile quarterbacks, you know, Keeley Smith, Ware, and Rodney P., all these different guys. They were all, you know, labeled as, you know, just mobile quarterbacks. And then quarterbacks that, you know, had that same flair, they were, like, labeled as scramblers, you know. So that, I think it's just the labeling now that has really, you know, changed now. And you've got Kaepernick and you've got Russell Wilson. Yeah, I do see the passing of the torch. I mean, but you know, so it's gotten more about winning, which translates to dollars, you know, and that's normally what, you know, what happens. But it is just taken so very long for just the thinking process to even change over, you know. And you know, and I have looked at that for a long time, pointed out years and years until it's like I'm exhausted. It really doesn't even faze me right now. I'm just looking at it like, oh, okay, now y'all doing this. Okay, so whatever. But, you know, I like those two kids. You know, I think Russell will be the one that'll be in, but I don't think the torch is gonna pass this year. You know, I think one of those old guys is gonna take it this year. So that's all I got on that.
Okay. I personally think Kaepernick. Now I'm beginning to predict stuff. Kaepernick's gonna be that guy that goes to the Super Bowl, because I think there's just too many weapons on the 49ers side, offense, defense, and special teams. To I know they went up to Seattle and they got drummed and they lost, and they They barely won in San Francisco. However, we always talk about the team that catches fire towards the end of the season. San Fran is that team. They're hitting that hot streak. And I think it's amazing. It's amazing how, you know, they're underdogs in this game. Vernon Davis is back. Even though he pulled up lame in the first meeting, I think it was like the first quarter, it was a deep ball that wasn't quite deep enough, and Sherman intercepted it. But you got Vernon Davis, Anquan Boldin, and a guy that wasn't there before, Michael Crabtree. And you add Frank Gore in the mix and Kaepernick running again. Yeah, he does one or two reads and then he's gone. But that adds another dimension to what the 49ers can do. So I'm picking the 49ers on that side. Then you look at the other side of the fence where you have the Broncos and the Patriots. The one big factor, and a very big factor at that, in that game is what? The tight end position. One team had their tight end back. His name was Gronkowski. Back for that game. That game almost ended in a tie in New England, if not for a mistake. Brady and company would have lost that game. And in that game, Peyton Manning didn't have his tight end, Mr. Thomas. Big, rangy guy that can catch the ball on the outside, go across the middle, and he can be a difference maker. And I think he will be a difference maker. So I'm picking Denver and the 49ers for the Super Bowl. I had to refresh it because I had the Saints doing it, but we saw how that worked out. But I just think there's too many offensive weapons in this weekend set of games, combined with very good defense in one and okay defense in another, that's going to be the most entertaining weekend in the NFL to date. And then we've got the Pro Bowl selections between Rice and Sanders, and then you got the Hall of Fame selection coming up too. So this promises to be a pretty good couple weeks in the NFL. But I've given my predictions and why, so I'm going to go around and ask JTATM Money and then my cousin who they're picking and why.
I'm picking Denver Broncos because, one, they're home. Two, they have more weapons than the Patriots can match to match up against in defense. They have three wide receivers that can burn the Patriots, plus the tight end that's an all-pro tight end. The Patriots can't match it. Plus, they have two running backs. They don't have just one. They have two running backs that share the ball, and they match each other, I think, in ability. In fact, I really like Monty Ball more than I like Knowshon Moreno, to tell you the truth. And they have a quarterback that is going to be playing, in my opinion, lights out. That's having a career year. I can't see the Denver Broncos losing the game now. I can't say it's not going to be a close game, but I think the odds are really stacked against the Patriots. I don't think Brady has enough receiving weapons, because that's what he's going to need to match up against the Patriots. He's got Ben Vereen, he's got Julian Edelman, and then maybe a Danny Amendola will show up. And then he doesn't have too
Ben
much
Vereen?
More.
Did you just say Ben Vereen?
No, I said Shane Vereen. I said Shane Vereen, didn't I? Did I? Whatever.
Ben Vereen.
Shane Vereen. I don't think he doesn't have enough weapons. I mean, Peyton Manning has what? Four guys that scored 10 touchdowns? Four guys. that scored 10 touchdowns apiece. I can't exactly know for sure, but I think at least three of them, if not more, have had 1,000-yard seasons of receiving. That's insane. I don't think I know they beat the Broncos before, but that was before, not now. That's not happening. And on the other side, Colin Kaepernick against and the Niners against the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle, and that 12th man, Seahawks for the last at least for the last five games, offense has been absolutely horrible, especially Russell Wilson. And he has a tendency not to play too well against good defenses, and they rely more on Marshawn Lynch. 49ers are healthy, a very healthy defensive and offensive team. Kaepernick is playing well. There's no way I'm thinking that going in Seattle. I know what happened. The last few times they went to Seattle, they got blown out. These teams don't like each other. As long as you can stay close to the Seattle Seahawks and weather the storm early and not have the Seahawks get up early in the game, you can win that game. I like the 49ers. So it's going to be, in my opinion, San Francisco 49ers, Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl.
Mike,
I like the Seahawks because they have they have the three essential things that you need to win. They have a good defense. They have a hell of a running game, Kaepernick. I mean. Russell's gonna do just enough. Yeah, I know he's been playing horrible, but he's at home. You know, and they've got the 12th man. I think that's gonna be enough to handle the 49ers. So I'm going with the Seahawks. On the other side, I have to go with the Patriots. I just see the Patriots have enough to deal with the Broncos. They do have Peyton Manning and all of these guys that he can throw to, but that defense is very, very suspect. You know, I think the key position and the key player in that game will be LeGarrette Blount and also Ridley. You know, LeGarrette Blount is running out of his mind, and Ridley is upset that that Blount is taking over the first spot. So those two guys are going to be running their asses off in this game, and I don't see how the Broncos are going to have a serious problem with that running game, and if the Patriots get that running game going, it's going to be real hard for Denver Broncos. So I'm going with the Patriots and the Seahawks. I think Manning is not, I don't think he's going to do it this year. I think that he's just missing something on that defense. So I'm going with the hard running teams and the stout defenses. And I know that I'm going. Against my thinking on both games, because you got one team that has the same thing in the Seahawks, but they have home field advantage, and that is the reason I'm going with them. But I just can't go against the Patriots with what I'm seeing that they have and how they're playing. I can't do it.
Okay. I mean, everybody has their tipping points as to, you know, what it is and what it isn't that they feel is going to happen. But, excuse me, you're going into two of the biggest events in the NFL to date. I'm going to tell you like Kevin Hart said on First Take. If Manning wins this Super Bowl, it's a wrap. He retires. He goes out on top. It's over. If Manning loses, because I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl, he'll be back for at least, I think he has, what, another year or two on that contract?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to prep Brock Osweiler because the talent is still young. No, Sean, he may or may not return next year, even though he's earned, in my opinion, the right to do so. But Monty Ball, as you said, Jerry, is pretty much the guy that they want. He's been catching the ball a lot more lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's also due to No'Shawn's injuries. Monty Ball might be that guy next year. And if they do transition to Monty Ball and they don't win their Super Bowl, I think Peyton will be the next one to step to the side and Brock Osweiler will step in. I mean, I can see this actually being more like what happened with Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers. Honestly, I really can't accept you already got your running back in place. You already got your offense in place. All you got to really do is update your defense because the defense is old. Linebackers are good, but they're injury prone and they're hurt and they're young. But the secondary of the Broncos really, really needs some work. Champ Bailey plays with nickelback. I think he's going to start this week now that Harris Jr. is out. They just signed one of the corners from New England that was just playing with him 3 weeks ago. So he pretty much knows he's practiced against those guys before. You got a lot of talent over there in Denver. And I think Elway and company has put together a good formula for winning. It's just going to be what happens when Manning leaves. And I think it's going to be after this year because he'll get that title. And it'll be over. But this is also a great segue to another one of our topics, our last topic of the day. And I know it's early in the season. I really know it's early in the season. But you can never, ever get enough of talking about this one team. And I'm talking about the Miami Heat. Recently, the Heat fell to the Washington Wizards, and they had their third loss in a row since 2012. Haven't happened since 2012. Some people out there saying, well, you know what? If LeBron would focus on the game instead of making movies with Kevin Hart or worrying about what how many shots Kevin Durant's getting, you know, maybe the team – you know, we'll get together, whatever. Listen, folks, I don't like the Heat and I don't like LeBron. But I don't think that's the issue. The issue is they're a little old. Mario Chalmers is out. You know, Birdman is like Big Bird now. He's not as young as he used to be. LeBron, yeah, he's the leader of the team. But with his cohorts on the sideline, Dwayne Wade playing every other game, what a fish may be, you know, and Ray Allen is shooting abysmally, you know, and Greg Oden, first game, I think he had, 6 points, three rebounds or something like that in 8 minutes. You know, he doesn't have much around him as a support cast. Just like he did in Cleveland. I think he had more help in Cleveland than he does right now with the team he has right now. So the question that I'm asking is, and I know I'm going to get a range of stuff from you guys, can the Heat three-peat or will it just not make the NBA Finals? I'm sorry, my cousin, I'm going to go to Jerry, and I'm going to finish up with my thought process.
Is this a real question?
Yes, it is a real question.
Seriously, is this a real question? I mean, are you wasting precious airspace and precious, air and oxygen that we're breathing to discuss this? This is silly. This is really silly. the Heat has already demonstrated to you that they're still that there's still the chance, there's still the, you know, they're still contending. This is the middle of the season. I don't know what people like you want. I don't know what you want.
Oh my God.
I don't know what you want. I mean, cause no, I don't know what you owe my God for. I mean, the team done. This team has won the championship back to back. This year, what they've done, they stomped out the dudes that's supposed to be their heir apparent. They stomped them out already. You know what I'm saying? They stomped out Indiana. They came down here to D.C. and lost, and they're on the three game. So what? They got all of them got all that hardware sitting down there in Miami. What you gonna do? I mean, and what's the? We ain't even got to the daggone, what's the All-Star game yet? Nah, man, this is ridiculous. This is silly. This is silly media jerks making themselves, you know, relevant by talking up something that ain't there. It ain't there, man. It's sickening. This is sick.
All righty. Mr. Taylor?
Right now, the Miami Heat, like Mike Mikel said, they won back-to-back championships. They're just trying to get through the regular season and put themselves in a position to play in the playoffs. And so what I'm saying is these guys, for the most part, they come out there, they play hard, the spurts, but they don't really put together a complete game unless they really are motivated to do that. They're basically coasting, waiting for the playoffs so they can showcase what they showcased for the last 2 years. Now, is it true that Indiana and some other teams, especially Indiana, have gotten better? Absolutely true. And I think Indiana, in my opinion, is the most serious contender because of the fact is they have a big man, probably the best big man right now in the league with Roy Hibbert. They have some up-and-coming young guys such as Paul George that is doing their thing. But you have to wait and see if these guys are healthy once they get to the playoffs and are able to get past whatever round they need to get past to match each other before they have a shot to win the Eastern Conference title to go to the NBA championship. I'm thinking these two guys are going to probably meet, meaning Indiana and Miami, in the finals in the East. And then we'll have to see. When Miami, hopefully they're healthy with Dwayne Wade and company. And they have, I forget his name now. He just came back as playing. Greg Oden playing now with the Miami Heat, if I'm not mistaken. And as he gets more and more games, there may be a possibility that he may be new and improved as long as he can stay healthy, which he's had a hard time doing. So if they have a big man in the middle with Wade and LeBron and company on the wings, then they can match up well with Indiana. And I think that was a thought process when they got Greg Oden. So I don't know if Miami is going to be passing the torch. I think there's a possibility that they'll be contested. But right now, they're just trying to stay healthy and try not to get seriously hurt so they can get into the playoffs and take it from there.
Okay. To the point of this team not being in any trouble, I'll say this. Injuries place any team in the crossfire, in the crosshairs. Now, will these guys go on like a 10-12 game lead streak? I definitely don't think that's going to happen. I don't think LeBron would let that happen. He would probably put on his cape and, like, shoot every daggone shot until, you know, he hit Wilt Chamberlain's numbers, 100 and whatever it is, Wilt scored in that one game. But when the bug hits, it hits hard. And, yes, we're not quite at the All-Star game, But things happen leading up to that can put people in a hole. Now, I get it. The Heat are in, what, the Atlantic, which isn't that big of a division as far as star power. But the Indiana Pacers, as you said, Jerry, they're the big dogs on the block. They are the big dogs on the block. And they
play a
game.
How can they be the big dogs on the block? Right now, the Miami Heat are the champions.
They're the big dogs on the block.
Thank you, Jerry.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Again, you're not listening. You said they are the biggest challenge to them. And that's what I mean about being the big dog on the block.
Well, that's different.
Listen to what I'm saying.
That's different, Victor. They're not the big dogs on the block, the top dog. It's the top dog, and the Miami Heat is the top dog.
No, listen. I want you to listen. We got a caller, too. But I want you to listen to what I'm saying here. In the Atlantic, you have not that many competitors for the Heat. In the what are the divisions? I'm trying to think of a division that that's above the Atlantic. I can't remember what they call it right now. But the 76ers were thought to be a contender. The Celtics were thought to be a contender. The Nets were thought to be a contender. That portion of the East, the big dog up there is the Pacers. That is the big dog on the block. When you have teams such as Orlando and stuff like that down there in the same section that the Heat are in, you don't have any real competition. As I was saying, you have the big dog on the block as the contender, the Indiana Pacers, for the reasons that you stated, Jerry. They got the big man, Roy Hibbert, in the middle. Now, if they can find a way to integrate Danny Granger with Paul George and the rest of those guys and maintain their physicality, maintain their ball discipline, things can take place that will say, you know what, maybe the torch might be passed. But right now, I'm going to cut myself short because I think I know who this is calling on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino hotline where winners win and players play. So go over there today and make a wager and win some money today. I think we got Red Fantasy calling in. So I'll bring Red Fantasy in here real quick. What's up, Red?
What's going on, brothers?
Ain't nothing, but right now, FFC sounding like an idiot.
Silence is golden. Be gold. I'm talking to the Rev right now. You go to confessional later. So, Rev, you've been listening for the past couple minutes. Right now, we're talking about the question I brought up was, are the Heat going to three-peat or not make the NBA Finals? Now, yeah, you know, they're going through their little struggles right now. They lost three games. They're dealing with a bunch of injuries. And Jerry brought the issue of the best contender to them right now out of the East is the Indiana Pacers. And I was agreeing with him, and I was telling him why I was agreeing with him. But you're the Cleveland guy. You're the guy that that follows basketball. You and Edward, the damn Lakers. What do you see from the East, the top contenders, and can you answer the question, will they three-peat or will they not make the NBA Finals?
First, let me say, man, I kind of caught the tail end of your guys' conversation, and the Pacers aren't the top dog. I don't give a damn what the record says. The top dog is the champ. Until the champ gets beat, then we crown a new one. With that being said, I think the number there's only I see only well I see in the East it's really only Indiana that can compete with these guys. That's a fact. I mean, which is not debatable. We all know that. I mean, common sense would say that. But I mean, I like what the Pacers got going on. Honestly, they got a lot. I mean, they got a lot of good players on the team. They're deep. They're a lot deeper than Miami. Miami's, you know, hanging on. You know, they got some injuries. I think I'm interested to see what Miami's going to do. Are they going to pick up Bynum? Are they going to make a run at Bynum to kind of give them a backup plan, you know, to Odom? Maybe those two guys can give them some size to compete with Hibbert in the middle. And I'm a traditionalist, man. Until Indiana showed me, I'm from the show me state. Show me. They got to beat the damn champs before we crown them with anything. So,
thank you.
Hey, you know I'm a boy LeBron, so I'm going to roll with LeBron 10 out of 10 times, bro. But I still see that it's tough, man. I think it'll be a seven-game series. Well, I think experience, man, it comes into play. When you get into a seven-game series and they're going to play probably in Indiana, you know, I would put my money on Miami just because experience, you know. Now, I think we're still sleeping on teams in the West. I mean, I watched that game last night, Golden State and Durantula and OKC. I tell you what, man, to me, this year, KD gets the MVP trophy. This guy's playing on another level right now. So, and that's not discrediting LeBron or Paul George or any of these other guys that are balling out. But I still think the Heat, you got to roll with them. Until Indiana beats them, you got to roll with them. Until someone shows me likewise, I'm gonna roll with the Heat. So.
Okay.
Everybody's quick to crown a new person coming in, but I'm gonna roll with the Heat.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Did you happen to see that game between the Heat and the Pacers?
Oh, I see that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just putting it out there for my cousin.
It's just like this.
The LeBron hater.
You can have. Many things happen in the game. I'll tell you like this. When Westbrook went down for the Thunder in the playoffs, the Thunder didn't know what to do. And they just fed the ball to Kevin Durant, and he tried to take that team on his own, and he failed when they faced the Grizzlies. Okay? So now Westbrook's out again. The team's better prepared to deal with, games without Westbrook. Westbrook will be back soon. But the Thunder are still kicking butt without him.
Right.
Okay? You've got Golden State, who has some of the best pure shooters in the NBA, starting, and a couple on the bench that are pretty daggone good themselves.
Probably the best starting five in the NBA.
So with that being said, the West is a wild side, and they can run, they can play defense, they can do all that. But the thing I'm talking about here is you have, and Michael brought this up, you know, there were supposed to be so-called contenders to the Heat throne with Jason Kidd and the New Jersey Nets. I was one of the folks that said you put, you know, even though they're old, you put Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett with Joe Johnson and Jason Terry and Brooke Lopez and all those, that they could be a very solid team. It's not proven out that way so far. You know, the 76ers, under Collins, they were doing very well. Now they're fading away. I disagree. Don't get Bynum. Bynum has knee problems. He did it to his coach's wife, allegedly. Okay, we got another Delonte West or Delonte West on our hands. You know, so Bynum is a liability. You're going to give him money to sit on a bench and give you maybe, what, 5-10 minutes of a game. Not worth it. Not to give him all that money. Plus, he got bad knees. But when you look at what's, you know, a contender, what's not a contender, the reason why, again, I say the Pacers are the top dog is because they are the ones that's bucking against the king. Every dog or in every animal kingdom, there's that lion or there's that king of that species, whatever. And until he passes that torch on to his son or an upcoming young buck, he's going to be considered the champion or the king. the top dog is the one that's going to buck at that guy and say, you know what, now it's my turn to take over. I want it. And that's where I see the Pacers at. They're the ones that are gathering the masses and saying, you know what, we can do it, we're going to do it, da-da-da-da-da. I'm not a Pacers fan, but I recognize the talent that they have. Like you said, Rev, you know, Golden State might have the most complete team in the NBA. It's just unfortunate that they play in a division on a conference where you got the Clippers. Lakers, they're so-so, but you got the Clippers, you got the Grizzlies, you got the Thunder. You got teams that are built very similarly and can get it done. That's unfortunate. If you put Golden State in the East, Golden State would easily shoot the lights out. All of them. Easily. Playing defense against big guys, maybe not. Maybe not. But shooting the lights out, oh, yeah, most definitely. So, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with everybody's thought process on Indiana. It's just, in my opinion, you're looking at a team that's down. It's only three games, but they're down because of injuries. And I'm talking about the Heat. When they get their full squad back, oh, yes, most definitely, they're going to be a very, very tough out. Very tough out. But I personally don't think they're going to go to the championship this year. Anybody has a shot. Like you said, Rev, in a seven-game series, it's anybody's game. Anybody's game, you know. So on any given night, Ray Allen could be shooting like he has been over the past 2 weeks. Terrible. Dwayne Wade's coming in and out of the lineup. There's no consistency there. You know? So we'll see what happens there. But real quick, because I got you on the line, and I'm probably not going to talk to you tomorrow. I know your 49ers are going against Seattle, and we talked about this a little earlier, so I'm doing a little retro here. Who are your picks for the Super Bowl? Why? And what are your thoughts on, quote-unquote, passing the torch between the mobile quarterback versus the pocket passer, which we're going to see in the Super Bowl? That's a given. We're going to see that in the Super Bowl. But what are your thoughts on those two topics?
Okay, so let me break this down, man. Rev's got to go grab some lunch. So first thing, my Super Bowl picks, man, in the AFC, you know, I really just want to see Peyton Manning get it done. I really want to see him get it done. That game, to me, both these games are pick-ems. If I was betting money, they'd be pick-ems. I wouldn't take no the spread would be pick-ems. So I'm just going to go ahead and say I picked the Broncos. Their defense is terrible. I just think offensively they're going to have to put up 40-plus points to win, and I think they can do that. But Tom Brady's a hard guy to go against, man, and he's like Peyton Manning's kryptonite, you know what I mean? So that's a tough one to call, but me personally, I'm rolling with the MVP, man, and I'm calling the Broncos in that. Of course, in the NFC, you ain't know what it is. Them sea chickens about to get plucked, so I'm rolling with the Niners. And you couldn't ask for a better AFC, NFC championship. You got the four best teams in the NFL going right now. And it's exciting, man. I'm fired up for tomorrow. But I call the Niners, and I just think what plays out in that game is experience. I think the Niners' experience for the last 2 years of being in this game will come through. And they got to break through. I just pray that they break through, because what worries me in this, if they don't break through, is Seattle is young. They're just like the Niners. They got a lot of free agency depth. They got a lot of picks. This could lead to something, you know. If they do beat the Niners, this could build a dynasty, almost like a mini dynasty for at least, in the NFL terms, you know, 3-4 years where they just steamroll guys. I mean, they're 12-1. Russell Wilson, he don't lose at home. He doesn't turn the ball over. But the Niners are going to have to find a way, man. I think the way they're doing it is through the run game. And Kaepernick's going to have to – he's going to have to make plays, man. He struggled against this defense every time he's faced them. But I just think the Niners are playing the best ball right now. Out of all the teams, the Niners are playing the best ball. Defensively, offensively, Kaepernick's looked great in the playoffs. He's gone on the road and beat two tough teams. So I'm going to go with the Niners. And pocket passer, this for a guy who likes to get out of the pocket and scramble a little bit, you know what? I used to be a traditionalist and like a pocket passer. And regardless if a guy scrambles or not, to be successful, to win championships, you got to be a pocket passer. So I would say pocket passer, even though a guy who gets out of pocket and scrambles is going to sell tickets, it's going to look a lot glamorous. If you look at history of the NFL and Super Bowls, it's always a pocket passer that stays in there, takes the shot, put the delivers the ball right on cue. So those guys can still be Kaepernick or Russell Wilson can do that, but they just add a different dynamic because you can't lose contain on those guys because they just scamper on you. And then you look at the AFC side and you got, you know, the traditionalists of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They just kill you from the pocket because they kill you. They're smart. They get the ball out within 3 seconds, so you can never get a hit on them, guys. You know, so I would think, like I said, I'm a historian. I take a pocket passer. That's just me.
Okay.
Man.
Well, here's the question. Here's the question. I'm gonna let you go because I know you gotta go eat and get my car. So when I do come up there, I have some way of getting around.
No, I got you. I'm in the Seattle area, guys. So I'm just letting you know right now. I'm on enemy ground. I'm driving around flipping the bird to all these sea chicken fans up here, letting them know what's the deal from the Bay Area.
I hope you're sporting your colors. You gotta be wearing your colors.
No.
Oh, you know how it is. I'm throwing my signs up. I'm throwing up my Bay Area signs.
He's wearing his Cleveland Browns crap. That's what he's wearing.
Hey,
but here's the question.
I only wear my Browns colors. That's like coming out of the closet, bro. I don't do that at home.
All right, look. Here's the question, man. All right. And this is more to the centralized point that I was trying to get to. Will the outcome of the Super Bowl, if Kaepernick or Wilson win the Super Bowl, will that change the outlook of the NFL as far as the quarterback goes? Or do you think more teams will go toward the mobile quarterback and then the pocket pass? Because, again, we're looking at two dynamics. Bridgewater is a pocket quarterback, but he's probably the best pure passer coming up. And Manziel is the scrambler and more playmaking guy. But
I don't think it matters what happens in the Super Bowl. I think already the NFL's going in that direction. And it's a shame because, if you know, us old school guys, man, I say old school guys, us guys in our 30s, if you think back in history, man, of all the great college quarterbacks that were probably undersized, that could scramble, throw it, I think the one guy, man, that would have been a dynamic quarterback, I think, in these systems nowadays would have been a guy like Charlie Ward back in the day for Florida State.
You're absolutely right.
And he could scramble. He could be a pocket passer, but he would kill you on the ground. But no one ever gave him a chance in the NFL just because he's 5'11". He's a buck 86, you know. I don't believe in that whole crap that you got to be a certain dynamic. If you're a playmaker, you're a playmaker, man. And I'm glad that the NFL is now getting away from that traditionalist, like the unwritten rule of the quarterback position. You got to be 6'2 to 6'6, you know, 220, you got to run a damn 4'5, you know. Dude, look at Tom Brady, man. This guy probably, every time I watch that combine workout they show on ESPN, this guy looked like a damn bum. I think I could have outdone him. I'm 37 years old. So, you know, I don't buy into all the combine workouts and everything. I'm just glad people are now starting to look at the dynamics of a playmaker is a playmaker. So, like a guy like Johnny Manziel, I'm still not sold completely on Johnny Manziel maybe coming in the NFL and doing the things he was doing in college because the speed of the game is so much faster. You know, but there's just intangibles that you just can't coach, you know, and playmakers are going to make plays. So, you know, to answer your question,
right.
I would say yeah, it's a great thing what's going on now in the NFL, and it's opened opportunities, I'll say, for a lot of great college quarterbacks who are great, giving them a chance to succeed, at least giving them a chance to succeed at the next level.
Okay. That's cool. All right, Rev, we got about 5 minutes left alive there. I'm going to let you go get something to eat. I know tomorrow you and JT will be doing the master plan, and I guess you guys are going to talk about what you're going to talk about. I'm going to let JT do that at the end of the show. But hopefully I'll see you sometime this week if you ever come back to work, fool. But
all right, brother, that was good, man. Hey, make sure you dial up the master plan tomorrow. It's going down. The Rev got to go say, you know, I got to get some nutrition in me, so I'm going to go eat some church's chicken real quick.
Oh, my God, you're such an idiot. All right, go ahead, pray.
All right, guys, it was fun. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Take care.
All right, later.
All right, thank you.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got about 5 minutes left of live air on the program, and we've pretty much gone through everything. What I'm going to do, though, is real quick, I'm going to let JT talk about what's going to happen tomorrow on the master plan before I give you the rundown. JT.
Well, we're going to be talking more about this, these up-and-coming games. I'm going to talk about a couple other things that happened to go with in the news. The guy's going wild in a few areas that we haven't talked about today. You haven't brought him up, so I'm not going to bring him up. I'll bring him up tomorrow.
I was going to talk about freaking Kershaw getting all that daggone money. Guaranteed $30 million every year, annually. I need to get my boys in baseball. Jeez, help me, please. Okay. Yeah. $30 million a year?
Yeah.
Why not? Over 100 and some of that guaranteed?
Why not?
Woo!
Hey.
But anyway.
He's got the golden arm right now. You hit the while it's hot. You do it while you're hot.
Yeah, yeah. Watch, when I draft him, he's going to be like 7-19 this year.
Well, let me tell you something. I wouldn't even play fantasy baseball if I was you. I really wouldn't.
No, don't even do it. Don't do it.
I really wouldn't. I keep on telling you, three years I've heard you, Victor, about you playing fantasy baseball. Two of the years I've been in the same league, and I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it firsthand. And I'll say it again, and I keep saying it until you come to the realization that you shouldn't play fantasy baseball because, Victor,
shut up.
The truth hurts, and you suck at fantasy baseball.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you a little moment there because in March, when we do this fantasy draft, I want you – in February, I'm going to be gone for like half the month, but I'll be able to do a show or two. But I think hopefully I will be. I'm not sure. But what I want you to do is get ready to do fantasy baseball specials. And what I'm going to do, Jerry, on my own show, I'm going to yield the floor to the master and his mom, because we know the mom gives you all the information.
Oh, stop. Yeah, okay.
And break down the top 10 at every position and prospects, okay?
I don't have to have that task, but if that's what it takes to help you to be able to draft more efficiently and to know what's going on in fantasy baseball, then I'll do that for you, Victor. In fact, all you had to do is call me and say, please help me. I'm having trouble. That's all you would have to say. And I would gladly talk to you over the phone behind the public.
During the draft? Can't do that during the draft. We're going to be in the same draft room.
No. What I'm saying is if you were honestly having issues in being able to draft effectively, had to do was call me, and your tutor would help you out.
Really?
I would tutor you what to do.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to choke that dude. But we want to thank all of our callers today, my cousin, and Rev, for calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline where winners win and players play. So go there today and place a wager and fill your pockets with some money. We want to thank you for that. JT's going to jump on this fantasy baseball thing to help me, of course.
Absolutely, because you do need help.
Oh, you know what? Shut up. But
Victor, before you go on, Victor, because the fact is, you're in denial. You are in denial, and I'm trying to do an intervention here. You're in denial. You suck at fantasy baseball, and I'm trying to help you out as much as possible. Because you know what? As much as I mess you up, as much as I help you out, you're still going to screw up, and I'm still going to be better than you fantasy baseball. But at least I have my conscience clear to know that I try to help him, Lord, but I can't just, you can bring a horse to water, but, you know, you can't make him drink.
And, you can't make him drink it,
Yep, so I'm going to try to help you, Victor. I'm going to try to help you all as much as I can.
Jerry, all you can all you can do, Jerry, is just, like, you know, kind of like listen to him. You know what I mean? And when he falls and busts his kneecap all the way up, you just kind of sit there with all the bandages and stuff, and you don't say anything. You wait for him to get up, and then you say, do you want to
do you want
to do you have to do
whatever.
Him. You got to do
whatever.
I don't listen to
you guys all the time.
No, you don't listen to nobody.
Anyway.
The only person
whatever.
You listen to is yourself.
Well, you know, I listen to God, but, yeah, I listen to myself a lot. But anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Thursday,
exactly.
It is.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get this out?
You see how
Hey, Victor, let me tell you something. There's two attributes to be a good leader and a good manager.
I know. Don't you start. I already know.
To be a good listener.
I know.
To be a good listener. That's two attributes. To be a good listener.
Did I say I don't listen to you guys? Now, some of the stuff I don't listen to y'all about because y'all make me mad and you're ignorant. But sometimes I listen.
You just
sometimes.
Said it. You just said it. Yeah,
anyway.
I listen to myself a lot. I don't listen to anyone. That's exactly what you said.
Anyway, at any rate, ladies and gentlemen, on Thursday, we have the FSP Crew Show. Those are my guys, Jake the ATM Money, Jeff the Joker, along with Black the Book, breaking down the weekend sports. They like to talk about everything and anything. I know Black is probably going to be pumping Dusty Hernandez's fight and Mike the S&D Reed fight coming up at the end of this month. So that's probably going to be on the docket coming up real soon. But you never know what those guys are going to talk about. Then on Friday, you have Mac Williams, Jerry Taylor, No Chaser. Again, not sure who's coming on, but JT, can you enlighten me?
We do have a guest, and I'm trying to get it as we speak. We had guys from what the heck was it? We had guys from a clothing line. Take It to the Street.
Yes. Take It to the Street clothing line.
Yes. We have another guest coming up. And to tell you the truth, you're going to have to tune in because we have another good guest coming up. And I, for the life of me, I don't know exactly who it is right now. I'm trying to look to see. Nope, I can't find it. We do have a good guest coming up. We have guests lined up for the next few Fridays. Max got quite a few guests coming up. So tune in with a special guest, and I guarantee you won't be disappointed.
Okay.
Guarantee.
Right.
Oh, I know. We have. Hold on. Next week.
Oh, I know. Hold on. Oh.
No.
I know. Hold on.
No.
Come on.
No, we don't have. I don't have it right now. But
all
we
right,
do have a guest coming on this week. Tune in 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same station, same bat channel. You'll see it. You'll hear it.
All right. Then you're back here on Saturdays with me and JT. Ladies and gentlemen, you can listen to us many ways. One is Spot On Radio. sportsandpolitics.web.com. The other, sportsandpolitics.web.com. You can also come back here to Blog Talk Radio /BIGHBK. Check out our archive. Listen to any episode you want. We're full of entertainment, full of fun and laughter, and information. You can also go support us by loading up your cards and making some wagers at fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners win and players play. Go over there and play today. What else we got? We've got Facebook pages, FSU Crew Show. Look it up. We got a lot of members over there. Mike is doing his thing, updating you guys. Then you've got Spot On Radio. We're growing in our listenership, and we're trying to steer people over there. Then MagicMan1957 on Twitter. Check him out.
1954.
No wonder you reply. I put 1957. My bad. 1954. Tweet him. Let him know what's up. Because he's old. He's a fossil. And all that other stuff. So, you know.
But I listen.
Also on Twitter, you got Fan Sports and Paul. That is me, Mr. FSP. I throw some stuff there from time to time as well. And I listen and I follow some folks. Right now, in the in the chat room, we got somebody by the name of Brody James asking us to join allradiox.com for take our shows over there. I'm going to check it out. I don't know. Kind of like what we're doing. Give me some money. I'll listen. Money talks. Everything else walks, guys. My cousin, Mike, what you got?
You must do a hell of a lot of walking.
Really? Really? Yeah.
Yeah, really?
How are you going to just come out like that? No, I'm trying to pump you up.
I just say what's real and say what's right. You must do a hell of a lot of walking.
So, with that being said, he doesn't get the promo nothing. Let's move on. Let's go around the horn real quick and get out what we got going on. Brodock, parting shot. Go ahead, Mike and Jerry.
I'm gonna be checking out them games tomorrow. Get some wine and check it out. Hope everybody stay healthy, stay wonderful, and don't listen to anything that Vic has to say. Listen to Jerry. Don't listen to FSP or Vic or FSP. I don't know what it is.
Really? You about to have your last days on here, buddy. Go ahead, Jerry.
All right. Enjoy the games tomorrow. I mean, there are going to be some exciting games. If you're a football purist, whether it's offense or defense, either of these games are going to tickle what you like the most, whether it's offense in the first game or defense in the second game. Two exciting games and rivalry on both in both conferences. I'll say the words of Bart Scott. Can't wait.
All right. Two things. Jay, what is Jeff's intro? What is Jeff's intro on the board?
That is
somebody else?
No, you put that there.
I didn't put Jeff's intro.
Yes, you did. If you play it, you'll know what I'm talking about. That's Jeff's intro.
Oh, yeah. But when we're doing the
took a while for you to listen. Obviously, it took a while for you to listen.
You are such a jerk. I'm not going to talk to you.
You know what? Truth is what I talk about. Truth is what I say.
Oh, yeah.
The truth sometimes hurts to some people. And Victor, you're one of the people that hurts. The truth hurts sometimes.
Oh, shut up, you piece of human waste. All right, anyway.
See, you know, Victor, and that's the problem. You know, when somebody tells you the truth and you don't like it, you start calling them names. You start downgrading them. For what? I don't do that to you when you show me that I'm wrong and you're right. I admit my shortcomings at that time and say, Victor, you're right, and I move on. You are very vicious in your words when you are showing that you're wrong. Why? I don't understand.
It's a family trait.
Right, when I am right, when I am right, and he might be right on that, but when I am right, you come in here and you say, yeah, okay, you were right, I'm sorry. But when you want to say something, like, oh, you are wrong, it's like testifying in church. And then it's confessional when it turns out that Dick is right. So I must come back viciously to anyone that comes at me. But it's okay. It's all right. I still love you.
Leave oh, the, you don't have to all love right. me.
Whatever. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. We do a lot of great things on this show. All of our shows, actually. Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sundays. Sylvia's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley is on hiatus until after the college basketball season, so that's going to be a while. Then NFC Crew Show, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays. Then No Chaser, Mac Williams, Jerry Taylor, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Fridays. And then you're back here on Saturday. With,
Christian Boo Jackson next week.
Okay. He just throws it in there. Christian Boo Jackson next week on No Chaser. Then on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you've got us, FSP, Fantasy Sports and Politics, me and JT. Doing what we do because we do it for you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have run out of time. I got to go downstairs and play some of these slot machines at the craps table in Reno, Nevada, my anniversary. And
happy anniversary, Victor.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know why she brought the kids, because it's making my anniversary bad. But she ain't going to listen to me, so she ain't going to hear me say this.
No, and I'm surprised she let you do your show. I'm really surprised she let you do your show.
Whatever. Because she bought them kids. Because she bought them kids, I said I'm doing a show. I'm like, what type of turn to a family?
Hey, Jerry. Jerry, she lets him do the show because she's a good leader. She listens.
Exactly.
You know what? He
needs to say these things. He needs to get all that nonsense out. And pester us with all that nonsense. So by the time he get through, you know, throwing it all out to everybody else, he can come back to her a little bit better adjusted. She could just deal with him.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Are you going to agree? You going to agree, Jerry? Okay.
Well, Victor. You don't have a leg to stand on. What did Jesus ago that prevented you from possibly going to winning a championship?
Hey.
You don't have a leg to stand on.
We were on a boat. And
Victor,
yeah, I know that was
Victor.
Know,
you cannot tell me that they didn't have internet access on that boat.
I know, but she didn't let me. I know.
Yeah,
you
well,
bringing, hey. Why did I bring that up? Why did I bring old stuff up?
Well, I brought it up because you threw that in my face, so I'm going to try to correct you appropriately.
Oh, my God. You know what?
Appropriately.
Geritol and the pins, okay?
No. Let me tell you something. Come Sunday, if I have to do a program, nothing stops me, not even my wife. Come Sunday watching football. Come Sunday watching football. I watch football. Nothing stops me, not even my wife.
Hold on. Since you want to do that, I recall I sat in a couple times for anniversaries and for birthdays.
That's not because my wife insisted. It's because I was a loving husband and I wanted to spend some time and make sure I took a home.
Listen, I took care of home.
You are such a loser and a liar.
No, I'm absolutely not. That's part of being a man, Victor. You make a decision saying this is the time I got to spend. But there's other times when, look, baby, this is what I do. You got to give me the time to do this.
And
one hand washes the other.
You're wasting my air time. All right.
Take it from a guy that's going to be 60 years old and this June's going to be married for 30 years. Trust me.
I know what I'm talking about. All right. We ain't going to have no more Kavita Pittman's on the show just for you, just because of that. All right. So... So we're about to get out of here.
I'm going
to
get her on soon. I guarantee it. One of them.
Okay, we'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Mr. Frank Sports and Politics. We are about to go off the air. I want to tell you guys, go make your wages. Go enjoy yourselves. Enjoy life. 2014 should be a good year for everybody. With that being said, you've been listening to
Fantasy, Sports, and Politics.
Get ready to rumble! You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy, Sports, and Politics. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics.